The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Oh my giddy aunt. What's going on? It's Nicola Duke on the charts with me. Where have you been, Nicola? I thought you'd fall out of love with me.
No, I didn't.
I had
some microwave issues.
I know, yeah, it was your internet stuff. Was get it sorted. You want to get onto BT.
It's completely brilliant now.
Oh, is it good? Okay. Well, are you on the microwave or are you with landline or fibre or
something? On the microwave because it uploads faster than BT.
Before I get into BT and they've had a jump in their stock, can I tell you why? How is the crypto? I haven't really kept... I mean, I know Bitcoin's above 10,000, but how are things looking in the crypto space?
I'm looking at Bitcoin US dollar. You know, it really needs to get above 10,100, like an hourly close. Mm-hmm. And then I think we'll see some momentum higher. As long as we can't close above there, I think that we're still on the back foot, unfortunately. But I do think that this 9,500 level is a really interesting one to bounce from. So today I'm just watching for a higher low or a retest of that low. And then I'm a buyer. And back above 10,100, I'll get excited. And I think a lot of the major alts, you know, Ethereum, Litecoin, Neo, they all look quite ready to go too. Even Bitcoin Cash looks good to go.
Bitcoin?
Bitcoin Cash.
Is that what it's called?
No, it's not. It's called Bitcoin Cash. But there was quite an infamous YouTube argument between one of the proponents of Bitcoin Cash called Roger, and he came and he called the other guy a bitch or something. And so since then, it's Bitcoin Cash.
Okay,
he behaved like a bitch, so, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're going to have a temporary bounce, but Bitcoin's going back down to about $1,000. You know, that's what it's going to. It's all going that way, is it? They're all overvalued completely. I know people laugh at that, but I believe that. I think, listen, it's blockchain's the future, yeah, but...
Blockchain's still be the future, but you've got to pay attention to price.
Yeah. The valuation's crazy. Anyway, listen, the valuation of something is not crazy, is BT. I think it's good value at the moment, very good value.
Okay, and for once, I completely agree with you. Let's get the BT chart up. So Bitcoin, I'm looking at a weekly chart. I'm going to get rid of these here. We're at the 618 retrace of the entire rally from the 2009 low. We dipped a little bit below it. The ideal level was 235, but we've since then had
I love that. Isn't it ideal? Ideal. That's ideal. Well, it should be. The actual share price is wrong. I'm right, but the share price is wrong here. But are you liking it? Are you liking the bounce now?
I'm liking it a lot. 618 levels are messy levels, really messy levels. And I think that we had a bit of a squeeze for people trying to buy that level. And I'm looking for a rally to 337 from here. In between, there's going to be difficult resistance at 286. But hold on for the ride. I think we're going 100 up.
Ladies and gentlemen, you hear that? BT is on the rise. And right now, if you get it now, of course, you have to be in the ex-dividend date.
Buy it cheap.
But at the moment, the dividend is around about 6%. That's what you're getting paid, 6% at this level. Because, of course, as the price goes down, the percentage gain goes up on dividends because they pay a certain pennies to the share. So, the reason is a fundamental reason behind this bounce, Nick. And Ofcom has come out. They've been in discussion for a long time, Ofcom, about the competition market, because Openreach, of course, which is the infrastructure that BT has, and that was legally spun out, but of course still the earnings go into BT. For a long time, rivals have been saying BT has an unfair advantage with Openreach because they own the infrastructure and they will treat BT customers better than any other customers. So Ofcom's come up with their ruling, and it's okay. I mean, it's you know, it does tell BT they have to be open up the use. rivals have to use your polls, have to use your ducks and all this stuff. You have to be a bit more honest and fair. BT said, we are doing that. But so the uncertainty is out of the way now. You know, it's done. And BT said it'll affect them by about 80 to 100 million in profit for this next year. But with everything, it was the uncertainty of knowing how bad and how hard Ofcom were going to rule against them. And they haven't ruled that harshly against them. So it's a nice little respite here. And hopefully, you know, you've got the Italian, the mess that went on a couple of years ago with losing 500 million of cash. There was a financial impropriety there. You've got the sports, Sky Sports and BT now. They've divvied up the football rights and it wasn't that expensive. So now you've got three areas of uncertainty cleared. There's one further thing, the pension thing, but I think that's going towards the right area. So I think this we're seeing the start now of fundamental and technical turnaround in BT. So it's harder time at bottom, isn't it? It's harder time
I'd like to show you something. This is a good little technical lesson for people watching. What we can see here, this is the RSI on the bottom and RSI 14. What we can see here is bullish weekly divergence. What does that mean? When the RSI oscillator makes a higher low and the stock price makes a lower low, which is what we've seen here in BT. This is bullish weekly divergence. So this weekly reversal looks really good. I think it's got legs. I still say 286 next and then 337.
Yeah, but I think if you get 286, so where is it? Let me just check with the 200 day moving averages. Isn't it at around about 280, something like that? So
yeah, it's a little bit above it.
277. So, I got 277 here.
I've got 277. And the prior highs, I've got at 277. Okay. But I think we'll go through them. And I'm looking, the FIB level is at 286.
Yeah, well, listen,
and that's the prior lows. So,
we are currently, I'm looking at 4.4% rise. That may not sound a lot to cryptocurrency guys. But this is a £24 billion company. And that'll be at the...
Oh, yeah. They don't normally move like this.
Yeah, that's the biggest riser on the FTSE 100 index. The biggest stocks in the UK, it's the biggest riser there. So that's a big rise. Cool. Okay, let's go on to the next stockerini, which is Codal Minerals. They've had into lithium, into gold. They've had some further good results on their lithium exploration in Mali there. And they've got a Chinese partner. I like Codal, and I think this has been overlooked for a long time. And they do a bounce. What do you think of COD? K-O-D, Nicola.
Do you know, when I looked at COD at the end of last year, this is a pattern called a bullish Gartley pattern. Mm. So we had a swing lower to the 618 and a bounce, and then the second swing lower to the 786. There's a lot of FIB reasons to like this. And so this is a bullish Gartley pattern. What it means is if we can rally from here, then we should go to new highs in COD. But to confirm that we're going high, we need to get back above the 200-day moving average and back above 0.2456. Above 0.2456, this one is on the way. We'll go at least back to 0.378, first target, 0.378, and then new highs for Codal.
Marvellous stuff. Yeah, and you know, in the lithium space, you know what I'm thinking? So you're talking about, it's not going to get any worse here. Lithium demand is going to go up, you know, and I think that now the overall push is for 30 at 30. That's 30% of all vehicles being electrified or electric vehicles by 2030, which is massive compared to where we are at the moment, 1.3%. So
the problem with this stock is it's trading very quietly sideways. We kind of really need a news catalyst or something to get excited and get it moving. And I think it'll pop. I don't see a daily close below 0.15. And if it does, that's where I'm wrong about my bullish view.
No, yeah, I shouldn't think we get daily close because they're developing the asset.
I don't want people to hold this forever. So a daily close below 0.15 would be wrong. Would mean I'm wrong in my bullish view.
Listen, it's an exploration play, and like I said yesterday on Twitter, listen, there's certain companies that have board of directors that not do a lot. But this company here are developing this exploration. They've got a Chinese influential partner in the lithium market. Biggest market for electric vehicles is China. Biggest consumers of lithium. You know, all that EV materials. So they've got a serious partner in China. They're developing this project. It's in a very good area, so it's worth looking at. Definitely. All right, Starcom had a bit of an issue in the week. I think it was yesterday, they announced them that results are not going to be as bullish as expected at certain costs. So they took a bit of a dive. And I know I've said this before, and some people argue against me, but it seems that quite a few of the updates, they come up with unexpected negative news, which annoys me, because I do quite like the space, I like the tech they're in, but I like tech stocks, but they keep coming up with some negative statements all the time, after bullish ones, and I think it's quite annoying. It's a habit they keep doing, and hopefully, a lot of people who know more about the stock than me say, listen, this is a start of an uptrend here in Star's fundamentals. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Star, what do you reckon on the chart?
Star, you know, Star had made really good signs of a bottoming pattern, you know, and a higher low. And but the problem is, since August of 2015, between 4.12, 4.2 has been a really sticky level. That was the highs, first summer highs in the decline. That was the first bounce level. And so that's, again, where we failed last week. So to really get going higher, 4.12 has got to be your first resistance that you have to clear. And if we clear 4.12, we should go to 7.49. That's my first target, 7.49. But only if we get above that level. So where have we pulled back to in the sharp sell-off and gap lower? I think that we go a little bit lower. There's a pivot level at 2.26, and that's where the 200-day moving average is. So we're at 2.56.
Do you know what's odd, Nick? Just looking at that chart there. Is it true that they didn't quite break that previous range high, did they? At 4 pence. And that was considering also
clearer on the weekly.
Yeah. And also that was if they did break that, they'd have gone above a 10 million market cap. But they've almost been hitting that. And even when they get threatened to go towards it, they released that trading update. In fact, they dipped a couple of days before that. They released a trading update where they're disappointed investors, saying the results are not going to be as expected, and they went back down into that range. So if they do, like you said, they've only got to break that 4 pence range, if you get above that sort of level, and of course it's going to go higher because they haven't done that for ages, you know? So anyway, all right, the Star.
So we've got this range in the bottom here. You can see, look at these lows here. This is 2015, 2016, and then the highs then when we were underneath it this year, those were the highs. So 2.25, 2.26 around there is really good support, maybe a little bit lower down to 2.15. So when you're stuck in a range, buy the bottom, sell the high. From 2.15 to 4.15 is not shabby.
Okay. Next one is Talao Energy. Had a bit of a volatile week. Tony Gilby, the managing director, is going to be on the podcast later today, talking about their reserves upgrade. Now, the thing is, isn't it? Technically, I'll tell you what happened. They're going for what's called coal bed methane to power in Botswana. So they're going to be involved in a power station because there's a power deficit, an energy deficit in Botswana. Desperately need new sources of power and hopefully from clean areas. And so this is coal bed methane, a lot cleaner than diesel or coal that they have in Botswana at the moment. So the government asked them to, you know, give them a request for a proposal to build a 100 megawatt power station. Then all of a sudden, the government cancelled it and asked them to resubmit. And this is only admin problems here, but the share price took a massive dive. And then this week, it came out with upgrades in their gas reserves, massive upgrades, 944% upgrade in their 2P gas reserves, which is massive. That's where the value lies in Talao. It's the gas, because they own the gas. You know, if they build a power station, it won't be fully owned by them. They have to raise funds, and it'll be owned by other people as well. So the gas is where the value is at, but it hasn't bounced back to those previous levels. So what do you reckon, Nick, on Talao?
No, it hasn't. What we're doing, though, you know, very often in a market, 618, between the 618 and the 382 FIB levels, and that's where we're at from the lows to the highs. So from the lows in summer 2016 to the high that we made in January of this year, we're bouncing between the 618 and 382 levels. We've had one rally last week from the lows to the highs in this range, and that's where we're knocking around. And right in the middle, the pivot level around 10 is the 200-day moving average. So really, we're oscillating around this 200-day moving average and building a base to launch from, I think. So 8.5 is really good support. I think that's the bottom of the range. Look for a bounce off there again. The RSI says we should turn up from here, and above 12, 12.1, we should see much higher price action, and that would be back above the daily 20 moving average. So let's see if we can do that from here. Otherwise, it's just sideways. No reason to dump it, but looking for a reason to buy.
Yeah, okay, next one is UK oil and gas had a bit of a nasty fall this week. I've never been a fan of UK oil and gas. It's one of the private investors' favourites, though, because, you know, it was one of the stocks that hit national headlines, the Gatwick Gusher, when there was 100 billion barrels of oil under the ground, apparently, there, and UK oil and gas was at the centre of that. But they're trying to prove up those resources that make prove they're commercially viable, and a lot of people are saying they're not commercially viable. In the meantime, they've done a lot of fundraisers, and their market cap is still quite big. So they released some news out recently. Was disappointed, and it's taken a big hit. But there's still supporters of this. But I think at this level, they're still only sort of exploring, and they're not selling the oil. It's a high valuation for what they're doing. And so, you know, what do you reckon, Nick? UK, look at that horrible-looking chart, isn't it?
I know, but look, we've pulled all the way back to the breakout level. So we're all the way down at 1.3, 1.4, where we broke out. We're also back at the weekly 200 moving average. So if we've priced in the reduced expectations of what fracking is going to produce, then I think it's we're due a bounce. This is the kind of level we'll see the bounce from. Mm. So here, around, if we can, I'm just looking for the sign that we turn up higher from here. We've got the first signs in Fibonacci terms and retrace terms. I think that this is it. So I'm looking for a rally from here. And the RSI says we're turning up higher as well. You know, we went all the way down to 15 on the RSI. That's quite low. I really do think we're due at least a bounce. So where do we go to initially? I think if we put on marker 236 retracement from the lows, that's going to be our first target, and that's back to 3.13. So here we are at 1.8. That's pretty decent. Only if we get above 3.13 will I say that we're in another upswing. But from here, we should at least bounce to there.
Yeah, but on a fundamental level, though, looking at my, I mean, it's a 65 million market cap. They're not producing oil in any commercial, substantially, to make a commercial sort of argument here. So I just think this level is still, you know, high valuation, very high valuation.
Okay.
I mean, look at the next company, right? Upland Resources, UPL, they're 10 million market cap, right? So, you know, and yet they've got massive investors on board, some very wealthy people, including Tony Fernandez of AirAsia, who owns QPR as well, put £1 million into this company, 1.35, and the chairman's from Malaysia. They're about to announce a couple of deals in North Africa and Malaysia. They've also got the Wick prospect they're 40% of, which is 100 million barrels to them net. I just think as a valuation play, it's a lot better play than UK oil and gas, you know, easy. And there we are. But I do hold some Upland, so maybe I'm biased, but I just look at the market cap thinking, listen, there's still 10 million market cap here, and they've got a lot of potential. What do you reckon, Nick, on the chart? UPL, even after this rise, only 10 million market cap. What do you reckon?
Okay, when we charted this before, we had two targets, 2.56 and 3.44. Mm-hmm. We're at that first target. And it's the second target. Our first target was 2.02, and we saw a major correction from there. So these FIB projections are working really well. Not only that, but on this daily RSI, we're up at 85, and we've got bearish divergence. What does that mean? Well, relative to the high that we made on the 2nd of February, we've got a lower high on the RSI. So that's bearish daily divergence and at a resistance level. So we're still in an uptrend, but I think we're going to see a correction from here, and we need to catch up with that 20 moving average a little bit before we continue higher to the next target at 3.44. So if my personally, I would take some partial profit here, and I would buy it back again on a dip.
Yeah. Trouble is, though, they've had news in the offing about a high impact North African and Malaysian deals, and they've been hanging around for a year now. They're just waiting for final confirmation from government and all that.
Okay.
And in interim results of the day, Steve Staley, the CEO, said news should be around within weeks. So what you're worried about, if you get out here, you may miss that news drop, you know.
In that case, if you see a close above 2.6, a daily close above 2.6, then hang on for the ride. 3.44 is your next upside target. And then, believe it or not, 4.86. So if we close above 2.6, 3.44 and then 4.86 are the next upside levels for Upland Resources. Yeah. But for me, I would be taking partial profit and looking for a dip to buy.
Do you know what's telling though, Nick? We've had a very strong couple of days rises, and even today, on a day where it's not looking pretty bullish in the smaller cap space, where a lot of companies are falling, today their share price isn't down. You know, it's still holding this upper ground here, which is quite a bullish sign, I think. You know, so like I said, and as yet their market cap is still around about 10 million. They're not massively highly valued in any way. So there's still plenty in a tank here, I think. But all right, marvellous stuff, Nick. It's lovely to chat to you. And the real reason, of course, Nick hasn't chatted to me over the last few weeks is because she's gone under intensive tattoo work on her back. And you were telling me. Sneeze, sorry.
Well, thanks for listening in, everybody. See you. Have a great weekend. See you next week. Okay, Justin has died. So I'm going to say bye and thanks very much. And if you'd like to see the video, you can look on the Vox Markets Facebook page and also at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog.
Hang on, Nick, we're just going to say one thing before I go. We will look at those stocks, guys, you mentioned on Facebook. Craig, IQE, Zeok, Lee, Jack, Stuart.
Alexa requests, we'll do them Monday. Guys, we'll do all your requests Monday. I'll have the charts ready.
We'll do them Monday. Yes, we will. Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.